transmission lines, and transmitters and receivers work better, and they educate each other on the what I used to think was 26 or 27 kinds of ham radio, but some of the new digital techniques, DMR, for instance, among others, the number is going up pretty fast. For all we know, there are 30 kinds of ham radio, not just 26 or 27. So it's a evolving technology. Let me drop. Throughout the net, if you hear things that you think shouldn't be there, please go to the reverse mode on your radio and write down the time and how strong the signal was and report that to LIMARC on their website by going to LIMARC.org, and you'll find a page where you can fill in the information to report on the internet what you've heard during that period of time. Let me drop. A very loose schedule, which depending on your enthusiasm, we're willing to change it. Our very loose schedule is that for the first hour or so, we take questions from people who sign in because they do have a question or a comment, and we discuss those for the first hour or so. And if it happens to get under a really hot subject that people get excited about, that could go a lot longer than an hour. And if there's not very many people who sign in, it can be even less than an hour, but that would be rare. That's followed by John, KC2WGB, who maintains the mailbag. For people who don't yet have their ham license or don't have the right equipment, so they can talk to us live during the Sunday night TechNet, which lasts for 4 hours, by the way, almost always. They have another way of communicating to him. John also monitors the EchoLink website, so therefore, if we're too quick on the key and we don't wait for the four beeps and the system doesn't get properly reset, they report that to John by way of EchoLink, and he lets us know about it. And in fact, people sometimes even file a question to John by way of that technique. Let me drop. For those people who can't stay up the whole 4 hours of the TechNet, starts at 8 o'clock and goes to midnight, there's a way that you can hear the last 10 years worth of TechNets. And the one that's happening right now tonight, for instance, by next Wednesday or Thursday, it will be filed on that website. And that website is amateurradio.tangovictor. Amateurradio.tangovictor. A beautiful website run by Mike number one, KC2NJI. Mike number two runs another website that's got a lot of information relative to the TechNet. And that's limarctechnet.com. So those two websites will give you lots of additional information, past articles and copies of Smith charts and things like that. Let me jump. After John files his report with the mailbag, that's followed by Paul, WS2N, who tells us the latest on what National Aeronautics and the other space agencies around the world, what they are doing. So the space report, and tonight's space report will be space report number 175 by Paul, WS2N. Along the way, quite often we get additional information from Hal, K6DPZ. He's got a lot of experience with a lot of radio equipment over quite a few years. He's a young guy, but still he's managed to gather quite a bit of information over the years. Okay, that gives you a loose idea as to what our schedule is, subject to change. So at this time, I'm going to take check-ins from people who do have a question or a comment. Need not sign in because you're listening. After 33 years, we believe somebody is listening. That doesn't have to be proven to us anymore. So if you do have a question or a comment, you're going to sign in by giving me your call letters, your name, and the word yes, which means you do have a question or a comment. And try to wait long enough in between each transmission so you hear the four beeps. If you're real quick on the mic and you don't wait for the four beeps, then portions of the system does not get reset. People who are listening by EchoLink or IRLP might get timed out because of your being quick on the switch. So try to remember to listen for the four beeps. I'm going to take check-ins right now. Please give me your call letters and name. K2LIW in the TechNet.
And to a go for the question and a comment.
W211P.
John.
Okay, I heard Rich and Joe, RYY.
K2UM. My name is Alan, Fishkill, New York. Yes, I have a question. Came through EchoLink.
Okay. John, who got tripled and didn't have his cold ears in, and Alan, we don't have his cold ears with. So first, John, please give me your call letters.
Kilo Delta 2, India X-ray Papa.
Okay, Mr. IXP, John, we got him. And Alan, please give me your call letters.
KC2ZUM for Alan Dick, in case you didn't get that.
Very fine, Rich. John. Okay, KC2ZUM was Alan. Alrighty, so we've got Rich, Joe, John, and Alan. Anyone else to sign into the... give me your call letters and name right now, after waiting for the four beeps.
WS2N Paul with the space report. Good evening, Dick. John.
Very fine, Paul. We're looking forward to that. Okay, so the first person on the list was Rich. N2EO. How are things going in Massapequa tonight, Rich? K2LIW in the TechNet.
Hey, Dick. Comment first. This is N2EO. I got my hover round on Thursday. I love it. I'm getting used to it. It uses a joystick and gel cell batteries for the charge. It was very, very nice. Takes a lot of... It makes my life better. And the question is, Dick, well, I have a technical question about an antenna. But before that, you know, I know you a long time. I'm buying Barry something for Christmas. I'd like to know what you might want for $150 or so. I'd love to get you something, Dick, back to you.
Yeah, that's sort of like asking the guy yes, is the best friend. What do I buy for somebody who's got everything? By way of towers, antennas, transmitters, receivers, people think I've got everything. Well, I've got old-fashioned equipment. Everything I buy is used. I don't buy brand-new equipment. I don't like the prices sometimes. So that's a tough one. Haven't got a great answer for you, but I'll start thinking about it now that you've mentioned that to me. Go ahead with your technical question, Rich.
Send me an email. Would you answer? My new email address, and everybody should know, Rich, RICHIE, _ N2EO, @yahoo.com. My question is an antenna question, Dick. You and Barry were kind enough to come here and take an interest and put up my compact antenna dipole. I'm working 40 meters, mostly 7255. That's East Coast Amateur Radio Service. I am at control. Most people hear me, but it can be a little rough at a time. Would like to maybe, let me let it recycle. Would like to put something up in the spring, and I don't know what, with a little more gain. A little gain, you know, the dipole has no gain. I was thinking at first of a high gain high tower, which covers 80 through 10. It's about half, it's 58 feet tall. Half of it's an aluminum tower. The other half on top is aluminum tubing. I had checked with the town about that, the village, earlier this year. They had no idea what it was. They had no idea what ham radio was. So that's a tough one. I don't want to fight them with lawyers. I don't have the dough in me to pay lawyers. Now, the other thing I was thinking of, maybe a small two-element beam on the roof with a small tower. And that's what I was thinking. So I don't know which way to go, Dick, or maybe you can come up with a better way, like a wire antenna. You know, like lawn tractor. I don't want to hang him. Anyway, maybe you can come up with another idea or another angle on what I just mentioned. K12IWY, Mark TechNet, and 2EO.
Almost everybody who wants more gain out of an antenna on HF frequencies, their complaint is that, I'm hearing lots of signals, particularly during pileups. I respond to them, and they don't hear me. So they're not getting out as well as they'd like to. Not enough people are responding to them. I want my signal, when I transmit, to be stronger. That's 90% of the complaints that people have on HF frequencies when it comes to what they hear versus who hears them. As such, sometimes the guy you're hearing reasonably well is not hearing you very well because he's off the end of your dipole. If you set up a second dipole, essentially at right angles, not exactly at right angles, but essentially at right angles to the one you've got right now, you'll have a lot of coverage in those areas where right now you're off the end of that particular dipole. I've met your next door neighbor, a very nice, very friendly guy. If you wanted permission to use one of the trees on his property so that now you can hang a dipole at right angles to the one you've got, I'm reasonably sure we can talk him into that, particularly if we give him a six-pack, if you know what I mean. There's all kinds of ways you can make it profitable for the neighbor, and it gives him no real grief. And people don't see wire. Setting up a ground plane antenna, the one you're talking about, the high-gain, high-tower, 58-foot high thing, the good news is it's vertically polarized. And there are certain times of the year and certain hours of the day when vertical polarization will talk to that particular station better than horizontal. But a pair of right-angle dipoles, you can flip between the two. That will do most of that magic. That vertical antenna, you're going to get a lot of performance out of this at ground level, or maybe mounting it up high. I'm not sure it's going to give you as much bang for the dollar as you think. The next step, let me drop. The next step of being heard well is to run some more power. I believe you're currently running 100 watts of output. I believe there's a high power amplifier on the way to you if it's not already there. Yes, it requires some rewiring of the house of 240 volts to feed it, but if you could run 1500 watts of peak envelope power versus 100 watts of peak envelope power, that makes you a 10 or 11 or 12 dB stronger. A hell of a lot more people are going to respond. So when it comes to how are you going to be heard better, another antenna at right angles to your current one, dipole-like antenna, gives you a lot of bang for the dollar. I know there's a way you can make a deal with a neighbor to hook it up, and higher power out of the transmitter. Those are the ways that I think you're going to get the most performance. This is my opinion. I happen not to be greatly in favor of vertical ground plane antennas on HF, but that's my opinion. Lots of other people love them. So keep your mind open for all of these possibilities, Rich. What I've expressed is a bunch of opinions based on what I hear, and it's not necessarily the last word on the answer. N2EO, K2LIW, the TechNet.
K2EO. Very good. Well, I'll talk to him. He is a nice guy. His name is Keith, but he might not be a nice guy to me. Well, I have the amplifier here. It's Henry 2K4. Since I'm a 4, it's about 100 pounds. Barry brought it over last week. I just hope I won't get into a CB. It's all digital. I'm worried about getting into a telephone, things like that. What I was also thinking of is a rotatable dipole on the roof on a very small Glen Martin tower. The problem is Patty cooks up there, Jeremy and the baby sleep up there. So I don't want to be intrusive to them to have to send somebody like Barry into the attic to tighten up on threaded rods with wood. Does anybody make a large toggle bolt? Maybe a foot on each side of the toggle. That would solve the problem. He could drill some holes in the roof and put extremely large toggle bolts in there. What do you think, Dick?
dipole, they're now broadside, and they hear you. If you've got a pair of dipoles up there strung in the trees, one of them north-south, and the other one east-west, that gives you everything the rotatable dipole will give you, and it's a hell of a lot easier installation. A rotatable dipole on all of the HF frequencies, and it would have to be one of these tunable type things, if you know what I mean. I can't think of the brand name right now. That's a lot more installation, and you wouldn't need that with a pair of dipoles at right angles out of wire. That's going to give you a lot more for the money. That's a bunch of opinions. When it comes to bolts that are long enough, oh yes, you go to the right catalog, there's all kinds of bolts, all kinds of diameters, all kinds of length. That's just finding the right catalog, asking the right guy, and that bolt is easy to get. That's not the gating item. But to go through all the modification of your house, to put up a tower, to put up a rotatable thing on HF, I think a well-strung north-south dipole, east-west dipole, I think it's going to give you the biggest bang for the dollar and almost the same performance, is my opinion. I'm not sure I'm always right on that one. John, KC2WGB, tell us what you would do in this case. You got it, John, K2LAW, the deck net.
Rich, he has a comment. Also, you have to realize that toggle bolts are easy. Sure, you can buy regular 3/8 toggle bolts, and you can buy 3/8 rod. Take the toggle bolt off of the toggle element off of that, place it on the rod. It'll give you anywhere to 4 foot length in toggle bolts. That's not the issue. The issue is, what do you put it against if you do not have, say, 2x6s lateral on the joists? You will have no support. It's just not good enough. But you got to think that out carefully. Dick, back to you and pick up Rich. KC2WGB.
Yeah, thank you, John. And so, some more investigation will be how strong is the particular construction of your particular roof. But a tower on the roof, all of the rigmarole of doing all that disruption of the people while you're doing it for a rotatable antenna on HF. When you go all the way up to a tri-band beam, a 20, 15, and 10-meter beam that's rotatable during the time that the sunspots will support those frequencies, that's worth going for. But a simple rotatable dipole, John, what's the brand name of that company that makes these dipole and Yagi-like things where you can electronically tune them?
Step IR.
That's the one, Step IR. But they're pricey. Step IR does make a rotatable dipole that will cover all of your frequencies, but rotating the dipole is not going to do you much more than having a dipole east, west, and a second dipole north, south. And your property will let you do that, and with a little bit of friendliness with Keith, your next door neighbor, I know you can pull that off. Eric, you probably have some opinions on this. What would you do in Rich's episode in order not to make huge financial investment, not make a huge disruption to the family, but give him a little more coverage? As you can tell, I've recommended his high power amplifier is going to do some great things for him, and a right angle dipole is all going to do him great things. KE2EJ, our broadcast maven nearby.
Don't forget UPS.
Okay, go ahead, John. I mean, Eric first, and I just found out that UPS wants to make some words. Eric first. Go ahead, Eric.
EZ is here also.
K2RWK2J. Well, I'm a vertical guy, okay? So I tend not to string dipoles. I put the sticks up in the air. And I've got a couple of verticals that I use on HF. So I would probably, in his case, string up another dipole with 90 degrees apart and have some fun actually running two antennas together. Make it a little more steerable. So I'll leave it to more of the HF people to give you an answer on that. We also, I want to mention that we have a guy on Echolink that's popping off because transmitting noise. Something seriously wrong with his setup there. Don't forget to give it to Rich. RWK to again.
Good information, Eric. And you just mentioned something really good. When Rich has a second dipole north-south versus the one that's east-west, so to speak. And then if he has the right kind of a switching network, they can flip from one to the other, and one of those switching networks that Barry could set up for him would have him the ability to feed both one, a north-south pattern when you feed that one, and patterns in between when you feed them in combinations, in phase and out of phase, gives you a lot of capability. But now you just mentioned something else. When it comes to half-wave electronic resonant vertical antennas, they almost require no ground plane radials at all. And the guy who's done a lot of work with that, particularly portable, half-wave resonant antennas fed from the bottom at portable locations is Rich, K2UPS. I visited him when he was at West Lake Park, West Mountain Park, the park in Huntington on top of the hill. I visited him when he was doing his portable operation with this vertical antenna. And I bet you can cover quite a few of the bands with that thing of your, I think partially your design. Is that true, Rich? K2UPS. Mobile, most likely. Tell us where you're located, Rich. K2LIW in the TechNet. You got it.
Good evening, Dick. K2UPS Mobile. I just came through Zanesville, Ohio, on my way back to New York. Well, the rotatable dipole would help him point his signal in different directions and maybe null out interference, but it's not going to give him any gain, which is what I think he originally said he was looking for. Ground-mounted vertical isn't going to give him any gain over what he has now, and you're going to have to put a lot of radials in the ground to get halfway decent performance from that HF vertical. The only way to get gain from a wire antenna is to make it longer than a wavelength on a particular band that you're interested in, like an extended or double extended zip. Then you can get some gain, but you can't rotate it. If your yard is favorable to the direction of net control for that net that you like to check into, that might work. But you're not going to put up a single element wire antenna that's going to give you gain on multiple bands. That doesn't really exist. I mean, people put up wire beams in trees or on the roofs of their houses, but they're not rotatable. So, and I know he was asking for something that would boost up the signal back to net.
Yeah, the amount of gain you're going to get by making the wire longer, making it an extended zip and whatever, you get a little bit of extra gain, a couple of dB. You can get 12 decibels of gain by way of that Henry 2K amplifier he's got when that's going to be put into operation. And maybe he's going to have to be a little bit careful, only use it beyond midnight. I mean, we ham radio operators sometimes we're night owls, and hopefully the neighbor is not. Yes, there's a little bit of increased probability that the Henry 2K could give some telephone or a television interference to the next-door neighbor. And if you're a little bit careful with how you use it beyond midnight when he goes to sleep and whatever, when really the DX is there, or super early in the morning. So there's ways around that. And even if he does get some interference, nowadays, with the right kind of filters on his equipment, almost all television and radio interference and telephone interference can be solved. And then the ham radio operator can go on to full operation. So I think he's going to get the biggest bang for the dollar out of a right-angle dipole, higher power, and if he does want to put up a vertical, I would recommend a electronically half-wave vertical, but again, you've got a good point. At ground level, where he's got the density of the trees and houses, he's got, let me drop it. At ground level, and what I've seen his property and his neighborhood, and it's reasonably dense with trees, houses, water towers, the works. And as such, a ground-mounted vertical versus dipoles that are 30 feet in the air, I'm not convinced that ground-mounted vertical is worth fighting for. So, any further comments on all of the above? These are our first suggestions on this one, Rich. And 2EO for the final, K2LIW in the TechNet.
CPC?
Stand by. Go ahead, Hal. Hal, what would you do in this particular circumstance? By way of all of our description, you probably have a mental image of what his house and neighborhood is like. K16PZ, K2LIW.
Put up a horizontal loop. That way you'd have omnidirectional. You could tune it for all the frequencies very easily. And that would give him his omnidirectional situation. Mount the loop in a couple places and put it up. That's what I would suggest for omnidirectional.
Yeah, Barry,
N2JIS checking in.
JIS recognized. Barry, N2MB, and I did that installation whether or not they have enough trees in the right location to put up the wire full wave diameter loop on 80 and 40, for instance. Barry and I are going to have to discuss that one to see if there's enough local real estate to mount that. And those loop antennas, they do a pretty nice job. Are they really better than a north-south dipole and an east-west dipole? That's slightly debatable, but there are people who love that particular antenna. Mr. JAS, please give us your full call letters and name, and go ahead with your comment on this subject. K2RIW in the TechNet.
Okay, good evening, Dick, and everybody else. This is Roger, and the call letters Kilo 2, Juliet Alpha Sierra, coming to you via the EchoLink. And I'm down here in Port St. Lucie, Florida, and I just installed my very old, oh, it's almost 30 years old, Cushcraft R5 ground-mounted vertical antenna. The antenna was mounted on the deck of my pool, and the pool is about 20 feet from a very large lake. Without the 48-inch radials coming out from the base of the antenna, I was doing very well, working DX all over the place. And now, just today, I mounted that antenna on a 10-foot piece of EMT tubing, put the seven stainless steel 48-inch radials on it, and strapped it to the railing of my pool deck, and it is working out like gangbusters. So you can do a whole lot with a vertical antenna. Back to you, Dick, K2JAS.
Very fine, Roger. The combination of that R5, which I believe is a half-wave resonator, which means the ground plane radials are not as important, and you've got some extra altitude, and you've got that big, beautiful, desirable situation there in Florida, where you've got a water table that's not very far down, you've got very flat local land, you don't have quite as many obstructions as he does, and again, you've got some altitude. So there's a man very happy with a vertical antenna under those circumstances. So it's another thing worth considering, Rich. N2EO for a final. K2RIW in the TechNet.
Okay, Dick, I'll have to see which way I'm going to go. I want to call the village building department and see what they say. Have to talk to the building inspector because they have no idea what ham radio is. It's a little toughy. And the problem I don't want to run into is getting a fine. We already had a fine here for something very silly. $1,000 fine. And I don't want to be told to take it down. So getting lawyers are very expensive. I know you fought big hills and won. God bless you. But lawyers are very expensive. Dick, I'll turn it back to you if you have any more comments. And if not, pick up the next station. This is N2EO.
N2EO coming.
West recognized. That vertical antenna of the R5 mounted in the middle of your backyard among all those trees and maybe even with a pole. It's not going to be very visible. Not many people are going to see it. The chances of somebody filing a complaint is pretty small. So I don't think that's much of a problem. Yes, convincing your town that there's an unusual structure that they don't know anything about, that's not going to scare the hell out of them, that's going to be a problem. Many a person in your situation would simply go and do it. And if at worst they get told to take it down, that's not the end of the world. There's all kinds of ways around that problem when it comes to that. Cross that bridge when you come to it, if you know what I mean. So you got some choices on that one, in my opinion. Let's see what Wes has got to say here. How have you solved that problem in Queens where you live, Wes? Do you have a set of HF antennas you're happy with? N2XJN, K2RIW, the TechNet.
Comment. K2JAS with a comment.
Okay. First, I want to say a few words about the horizontal antennas. The problem that I've seen here, I don't know if it was mentioned, at Lambda half, nearby the ground, the reflection of HF antenna will start to be constructive. Yeah, you might get a takeoff angle for the long distance ionospheric contacts. You might have a net gain over the antenna in the free space. However, think about one moment with how they dimension. You have 80 meters, this is the length of the wave. The half of it is 40 meters. How can you put the antenna 50 meters, 40 meters, which is a times 3 in feet, over the ground to get this effect? Now you have a 40 meters. The 40 meters half of it is going to be 20 meters. Let me drop. 20 meters times 3, you have it in feet. Okay, then you want to go to 20 meters. The 20 meters, 14 megahertz. The 14 megahertz, 20 meters divided by half is 10 meters. Okay, now maybe 10 meters would be doable if people have this kind of comfort. Entering CM.
There's lots of people, by the way, Roger, Ricky John, gotta go to him next. There's lots of people with a whole bunch of negative opinions along the lines that you're talking about right now, Wes. You've heard a lot of people say those things, and you think it's accurate. If this is the best of all worlds, you would like your antenna to be a half wavelength above the ground. There's nothing magic about that number. If your antenna is a quarter wavelength or an eighth wavelength above the ground, yes, the signal out to the horizon is not as strong. Yes, the signal going straight up the near vertical incident sky wave is stronger, but there's a whole lot of people you want to talk to that way. So an antenna doesn't suddenly burn up and stop working simply because you have it located close to the ground. The best example I know of is the Kirby Snake antenna. I can't remember his call letters. A prominent LIMOC member 25 years ago named Herbie had some very restrictive, let me drop. He had a very restrictive landlord that wouldn't allow him to put up antennas anywhere on the property above the house. He came up with a combination of pieces of RG8 coax cable fed in various ways with shields interrupted in certain places, and this RG8 cable laid flat on the ground in his lawn, and he operated on 20 meters. And we made comparisons of his signal strength, zero altitude above ground, living on the South Shore with the antenna. Yes, we made comparisons of his antenna versus other antennas that are up in the air. Yes, he was 10, 15 dB weaker than anybody else, but he was making contacts. So there's zero altitude. I didn't say it's desirable, but it still works. It still gets out. So don't be scared away by these numbers where you think the antenna is going to burn up and crash and not work because it's a half wave above ground. That's a desirable number. It's not a necessary number, if you know what I mean. Let's see what Roger's going to say. K2JAS in Port Lucie, Florida. K2RIW. Go ahead, Roger.
Okay, thank you, Dick. The Cushcraft R5 that I put up is, for all intents and purposes, not a ham radio antenna. Never use those words, ham radio antenna. I'm in a deed-restricted community. The next nearest home to mine is less than 10 feet away. That neighbor saw me using one of their trees to, with a rope slung over a branch, to help pull my antenna into the my Cushcraft into the vertical position, and she just wanted to know if she could help and what was I installing. And I explained to her very carefully that this is for a weather station. I am monitoring the weather. All right. That seemed to make her feel just fine, and that put an end to the discussion. So don't talk about antennas. Talk about a weather station. Nobody knows what a weather station looks like, and if you stick an anemometer on the top of it, that'll work too. I just wanted to ask Dick if putting in an 8-foot ground rod at the base of this Cushcraft, whatever you want to call it, would help it. Back to you, Dixon K, 2JAS.
Eric recognized. That would be an interesting experiment to perform, Roger, putting in that ground rod. It is my guess that the difference in performance would be very small. But you being a scientist are probably going to go, it's not a big investment, are going to go and try it and do an A-B test, maybe even install a knife switch so that you can electronically connect and electronically disconnect that ground rod a particular day that you're running a DX contact and see if there's any real difference. Because you live in Hurricane Alley, Port St. Lucie, Florida, where people are very concerned about weather, very smart thing to say. This is an installation for monitoring weather. And because of what happened up here with a Superstorm Sandy, people are a hell of a lot more interested in weather around here. So again, if Rich is smart enough to say, yes, there's an anemometer on the top of it, it is my weather station, and not mention the ham radio, and not be so super honest about it. You don't have to lie, but just don't be super honest about it, if you know what I mean. A very smart way to go. You got a good solution there, Roger. KE2EJ, K2LIW. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw something out there for Rich. Lives in the town of Oyster Bay. I'm not familiar with the hamlet of Biddy and Nasty Plugs, but basically, on no restrictions on putting antennas on your house. Do take notice when you want to put up a tower, and they will help you do that. A lot of people just completely code enforcement guys. And the only thing with Rich is his backyard faces the school, though. He's somewhat close to the high school. That might be an issue. That, you know, if they're in the schoolyard and they see a stick in his backyard, they might question it, but I kind of doubt it. That's my two cents worth. K2K. Oh, by the way, grounding the R7 makes it a quick lightning arrest. Especially after the lightning hits it and throws everything at it. K2RWK2K.
Yeah, as I was on Rich's Street and I went east, I did see the local school, which is about 3 or 4 houses away, whole lot of trees and things in between. This kid's running around the schoolyard and not going to see his stick. No problem with that. On top of that, his yard has got a fence around it, so he's not an attractive nuisance where he's going to attract children, so that's not a problem. So as long as he's not super honest and blasting to the world, hey, I'm putting up a ham radio antenna and I'm going to run high power into it. You don't want to say anything like that. I'm putting up a weather station. That's a very smart thing to consider, Rich. And don't talk that much. Be a little bit more quiet when you're in town hall discussing it, if you think you've got to do that. I don't think you've got to do that. I think you can just go put up your weather station. Somebody ask any questions, you know what the answer is. It's a weather station. And so that's if you decide to go that way. Okay, let's go over to Joe, W-E-2-R-Y-Y. And he was putting a super high performance antenna inside a pill bottle last week, and he was going to be measuring the loss of the plastic of his pill bottles, maybe. And it's an experiment downrange. Let's see how that's going. Go ahead, Joe, W-E-2-R-Y-Y, K-2-R-Y-W in the TechNet.
I'll get to that a little later. That's not what I want to know what the question is about. The question is about a couple of resonator antennas. You don't seem to like that subject, but I'll just throw it out to the net and see if anybody knows much about that particular topic. And I have another question related to that. I'm looking for plastic insulators that I can use as space wiring, about something that's UV resistant, probably like some sort of black plastic. I don't know if anybody knows anybody that makes black plastic. I'm looking for flat plastic, something I can tie the wires to, about an inch wide, 2-3 inches long, give or take, so I can hang these different sections. But the main thing I'm bringing up, subject of couple resonator antennas. Back to you.
Okay, you said some words, coupled resonator antennas, which if I Google that, I would find 5 different kinds of antennas. Sometimes you ask very ambiguous questions, Joe. Got to be a little bit more specific. Describe the kind of antenna you think you're discussing right now, called coupled resonator antenna. Go ahead, Joe. K2LIW.
Okay, the antenna is basically a like maybe your lowest frequency antenna have other elements underneath it that are nearby where they're inductively coupled to the main element, but they're not physically touching it or electrically coupled, electrically connected to it. And these elements are spaced below the main feed, you know, the main length antenna. In my case, it would be like 80 meters is what I'm trying to do, where you'd have like 40, 20, and something like that. What I'm seeming to be finding is with my model, I want to see if anybody has it, there's a relationship between the spacing, a direct relationship between the spacing between the elements. That's not nice. The space between the elements and versus the length of the wire, because I'm finding out some interesting things about the length of the wire does not come out to be calculated correctly. It comes out seems to be a lot shorter than what I'm looking for to get these resonator points at different bands. Back to you.
When you do an experiment with putting fan dipole-like structures and you change the spacing between the wires, without a doubt it changes resonant frequencies in a complicated manner. There's no simple formula you can go to that can predict that for you, but you can measure it. Joe, one of the things that I've suggested for you, even though you may not want to buy it, you may not want to make an exact copy of it, I do strongly recommend you at least read the literature on that Cobra antenna that we installed at Rich's house. It's a high-level ribbon-like cable. I think it's got four leads to the ribbon, with a complicated method of breaking and shunting the ends of this 78-foot-long thing. But that Cobra antenna gives some rather good performance on 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10. You have to at least consider that approach, which would solve an awful lot of your problem, and maybe you want to copy some of its concepts, if you know what I mean. So when you get a chance, Joe, please look up at that Cobra thing and read the literature on it. That performs a hell of a lot of magic with very little hardware, and it seems to be in the direction you're going. Let me drop out, talk about plastic. There's all kinds of Lexan, plexiglass, and whatever, which, although they're clear, are reasonably good on ultraviolet survivability. And for you to cut up pieces of that kind of carefully chosen material is a way to go. You don't have to have black material to be ultraviolet protected. And many of the materials that are with a black surface on them, yes, the material underneath is protected by the black material on top, stopping the ultraviolet rays. But there are kinds of plastic that are going to last you 10 or 15 years with outdoor ultraviolet exposure if you choose the right chemistry. I didn't give you an exact answer, but I'm just saying that there's more things available to you than first meets the eye. But when you get a chance, Joe, please look up that Cobra antenna. Do we have to give you the website? When you read it, you're going to say, wow, look what they did with so little hardware on so many bands. W2LYY, K2LIW in the TechNet.
Done with a comment?
I hear the assist to comment. All right. I know you keep on steering me in that direction, but I'm going to want to make this so you can completely understand it. I do not intend to use an external antenna tuner, on this type of antenna. I'm trying to make the thing work as best as possible on 50 ohm coax. So if this antenna design you're talking about has to use an external antenna tuner, that's not the direction I'm going to be going into. Back to you, or back to Ned.
I've got a big comment on that one, but let me go over to the person who said comment. Give us your full call letter, sir, and your comment. Wait for the beeps. K2LIW.
I have a quick comment.
In addition to the Cobra Ultralight, which I personally like a lot, you should also check out QST and CQ Magazine for the subject of skeleton sleeve dipoles. These dipoles are built out of window ladder line. One half of the ladder line is your longest, the longest dipole for your lowest band. The other side of the ladder line is an inductively coupled resonant antenna on the next highest band. They're good for two bands, no antenna tuning necessary. Check out QST.
Okay, and I'm going to hold back my comment because Roger wants to say something. K2JAS, go ahead, Roger. K2LAW in the tech man.
Okay, K2JAS. I want to
Alan set up a 160-meter through 10-meter fan dipole, and all of the dipole elements were strung through pieces of printed circuit board. So these were glass, fiberglass pieces suspended maybe 6 inches apart, and worked beautifully, absolutely beautifully. And the other thing that I wanted to mention to Rich was that the antenna, if it's in your yard, can be folded over at night, rather during the daytime, and stood up at night, and nobody even knows it's there. Back to you, Rich. It's A2JAS.
Yeah, that's another interesting compass, another interesting concept there, Roger. By way of a slightly motorized mechanism, or maybe a system of pulleys with a crank, raising the antenna only at nighttime. Another interesting possibility. Now, there's one thing you're seeking here, Rich. Here we go, Joe. Which you're chasing your tail to a certain degree. If your definition of no tuner required is an antenna that on 80 meters will operate across most of the 3.5 to 4.0 megahertz, and on 40 meters operating across most of the 7.0 to 7.3, and so on. If your definition is you're looking for an antenna requiring no antenna tuner across those percentages of those bands, for the most part, other than something with lossy resistors built inside, and there was one of those that got a lot of bad press. Other than lossy resistors, that antenna does not exist. I know you want to remotely operate. Let me drop it. You want to be able to command your system to go to a different frequency without having to command an automatic antenna tuner. But to make an antenna operate across a 3% of the bandwidth, you'd be amazed in a dipole-like antenna how difficult that is. When you study the Brown and Woodward curves and you look at how fast the reactance changes as a function of frequency, when you tune an antenna to, let's say, 3.7 megacycles, and now you go to 3.8 or 3.6, you go 100 kc higher or lower, and now you look at the Brown and Woodward curves, that'll tell you exactly what impedance you're going to get once you tell it the length of the wire and the diameter of your wire. It'll tell you exactly what you're going to get. You'll find out the reactance changes 5 or 8 times faster than the resistive component. You build up a huge amount of reactance real fast when you tune a little bit away from the resonant frequency. And if you think it's some kind of a wire-like antenna with fancy zigzagging and fancy tune structures and whatever, is going to avoid that no way in hell. You're going to put up with antennas of the kind that you're building, that the edge of the band you're going to hit 3 and 4 to 1 standing wave ratio. If you buy a transmitter that can tolerate that, you're home free. But most of our no-tune transmitters will not tolerate that, and you're forced to use an antenna tuner if you're going to go to those frequencies. So you might be seeking something, Joe, if I understand you correctly, if I misunderstood you, you might be seeking something that does not exist. You don't get that combination, as I've often said, the Einstein brain inside of a Raquel Welch body. The B2RYY, K2RYW.
Dick, pick up K2UPS for the comment.
Those are the comments, Joe, Dick, that might be helpful in 2 weeks.
Okay, stand by, Joe. K2UPS, those beautiful vertical half-wave resonator-like things that you use on your portable vehicle that I've seen you doing on local mountaintops, Rich, looks to me like you've got a beautiful solution there. K2UPS, mobile, K2IW in the TechNet.
Good evening, Dick. Now, this comment is for Joe with his fan dipole looking for spacers. He might be able to use PEX tubing from the plumbing department, or even the darker gray like PVC pipe that's meant to be outside and will hold up. You could use a bandsaw or something, and instead of using a whole piece, if that's too much wind loading or too much weight, you can cut, say, a 4 or 5 inch piece out of it and then cut that in, lengthwise, maybe 4 times, to get 4 strips from it and drill holes in it and use that as a
confirm something that I see. With each of the wire-like antennas that you have built, when you tune it for a particular frequency, like say for instance 7.25 or 14.15 megahertz, and now you go to a slightly higher or slightly lower frequency, of all of the antennas that we can easily build, it's my opinion that on almost all of them, the standing wave ratio changes so fast that if you didn't have an antenna tuner, it's very difficult with modern-day no-tune transmitters to tolerate what happens. To try to build some kind of an antenna that covers almost all of each of our amateur bands without an antenna tuner, I think is almost out of the question. Maybe your experience partially confirms that. K2UPS, K2RIW, and TechNet. You got it, Rich.
I agree with you, Dick. You're not going to get a lot of bandwidth on 80 or 40, but I think you're making the assumption that, or maybe I misheard him, I don't know if he wants the entire 80-meter band. He may be interested in just a small section of the CW port or phone portion, in which case the fan dipole properly tuned will work out ideally for him. You know, so he may not necessarily want the whole broad spectrum here. I mean, I understand what he's trying to do. Yes, it's going to be a limited antenna, and we're all trying to give him other ideas of other antennas, but I think we should be giving him advice for helping him make the antenna that he, you know, wants to build.
Okay, I see your point. Let me go one step further with it. Let's assume that he's only interested, when it comes to 80 meters, in the phone portion of the band. And so he's got the antenna tuned to 3.8 megahertz, and it is my belief that most wire-like antennas, when you tune 100 kc, you go from 3.8 where the dipole is tuned to 3.95, 150 kc away. I think most of the wire antennas you and I have used and experimented with, the standing wave ratio raises so fast that most of our modern-day no-tune transmitters without an antenna tuner will not tolerate that. I'm not convinced you can tune 150 kc on 80 meters without an antenna tuner. K2UPS, we'll see if you confirm. K2RIW in the TechNet.
I don't know if you get 150 out of it, but again, I don't know how much bandwidth he's looking for. And if he is using a modern radio or an older, a tube radio that has a Pi network in the end, we don't have all that information. But I know he was looking specifically for ways to suspend the wires and how they might interact with one another. So that my answer was trying to answer those questions that he had.
Very fine, Rich, and I thank you. The next person on the list was N2EO. Go right ahead, Rich in Massapequa.
Okay, Dick. I understand why Joe doesn't want to use an antenna tuner. I use a kilowatt tuner here, and I have to twiddle with it. So I understand where he's coming from. What Joe might be interested in is an LPG automatic tuner. I was amazed. They make a couple, very inexpensive, under $200, only handle a few hundred watts. But maybe that's all Joe is looking for. And if he decides to use ladder line, the tuner only has coax outputs, MFJ, and possibly LPG, make a ballon. One side you plug into the SO239, the other side has scoop terminals for ladder line, or he decides to use coax, which gets lossy when you're tuning it to the highest WR, as you know. He could just put the coax right to the tuner. I personally like ladder line, because with the highest WR, there is no added loss. What do you think, Dick? Back to that and to me.
Comment.
Yeah, West recognized. The ladder line that you've used and so many other people have used when they're taking antennas on very high standing wave ratio. You take an 80 meter antenna and use it on 40 meters, or a 40 meter antenna and use it on 80 meters. You end up with a huge standing wave ratio. It's 50 to 1 happens real easily. With lateral line and a wide enough bandwidth antenna tuner, you're getting 90% performance out of that combination. You try doing that with coax, and you'd be lucky to get 5% performance. Almost all your energy gets eaten up with the loss of the coax cable with that super high standing wave ratio. So you're right on that one. And so for $200, LDG makes an automatic antenna tuner. But to cover any substantial portion of the band, to cover more than 50 kilohertz is my belief. More than 50 kilohertz of the 80 meter band without retuning with an antenna tuner, I think most of our modern day no-tune transmitters are going to trip out on you on that one, Joe. And 2XJN, how have you solved this problem, Wes? And 2XJN, K2LIW in the TechNet?
I have a quick suggestion. I love when we talk about antennas, but very little time was spent for the past year to help youngsters to understand propagation. Most of the ham radio operators are confused about which band they should use at a given time and day. So if you could say a few words about it, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
A good question, but it's on another subject. So we got to be a little bit controlled here and not change subjects midstream, if you know what I mean. I got a list of people that have signed in that want to ask their particular question. So, Joe, the antenna you're seeking, Joe, by way of the experiments you're doing, it is my belief, and I hope I'm wrong, that you're doing an experiment in frustration to try to build some kind of wire-like antenna that covers anything more than a very small fraction of each of the ham bands without an antenna tuner. I don't think it exists. W2LYY, maybe you're going to prove me wrong. K2LYW in the TechNet.
Well, I never use the words that I want to cover all the bands. You're sort of assuming that, and that's not what the goal is. I understand that to try to cover the entire 80 meter band and have the return loss be 15 minus 15 minus 20 dB down is ridiculous. I can't expect that. I don't expect that. But I'm trying to get an idea with the subject of a couple resident relationship between the spacing and the wire length. Because on my model I can only do one thing. I can only space it so much the way the model is constructed. And when I try to make this thing build it for real, which is coming up soon, I don't want to end up buying a lot of wire and wasting it by going in the wrong direction. That's why I keep on asking questions on this, so I can be ahead of the curve.